views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you create a life you love at work, at home, and at play. Earlier this year, I began a podcast series covering my book, Break Free of Parenting Pressures. Today, I am continuing with that reading. However, we're in part two, chapter five, and I started talking about personalities last time and didn't have enough time to finish it. So this is the first time that I'm going to go back and cover a little bit of what I talked about in the last show. So if you're someone who really prefers a book to be read in order, feel free to go back to the beginning of June 2019 and start from there. If you're okay just jumping in, then you are welcome to start right here. If you find the personality piece too confusing, either go back and listen to the previous show, or even better, check out my podcast that I've done on this topic alone, because there's a full 25 minutes on just this topic if you want to learn some more about that. Whatever you decide, I'm optimistic that you will enjoy this reading. And if it's not your thing, I hope you'll return to my show in the fall when I'll likely switch back to my regular format of interviews and other timely material. So for today, here we go with Break Free of Parenting Pressures, Embrace Your Natural Guidance, Chapter 5. We're under the category Let's Get Personal. So we're talking about temperament and personality. I use the DISC system for that, although I haven't been trained in the DISC system. You can go back and listen to the previous show if you want to know more about my background. And we're talking about the different personality types, specifically about our kids. So the determined driver, this child may need to be taught how to think of others' feelings and will likely only engage in those teachings if you briefly explain what it will do for their future. So for example, if they've just treated someone badly, you might need to say something to them like, "You know, honey, to run a company someday, you'll need to be able to think of others' feelings. So I want you to try to think of how this would have made him feel." These kids like to lead and take command of situations easily and quickly. They enjoy watching people disagree and often need help learning social skills like patience, empathy, and tolerance. Discipline works best when it's enforced consistently, calmly, and quickly with this child. The parent must be the full authority for the child to listen. Taking possessions from this child gets a strong reaction, while lectures do not. Remember, these kids love arguing. They are strengthened by it. So they will look for any opportunity to get you riled up. The flamboyant, expressive kids, on the other hand, are those kids that have lots of friends. So social interaction is a very important part of their world. Because of that connection to their friends, they will rebel if you come on too strong in disciplining. In other words, if you ground them and you remove their cell phone and you remove their computer time and all their other ways of connecting with other people, you're going to really have a rebellious child on your hand. A little goes a long way when it comes to this type of discipline for these kids. Timeouts can be effective for the younger child as well, as long as the parent is calm and consistent. The easygoing amiable, on the other hand, these kids are really easy to get along with. They're not disruptive and they try hard to do what they're asked. But as I mentioned last time, they will often end up being followers. So if they're not taught good decision-making skills while they're young and they still absolutely idolize you, they can very easily be led down a wrong path when they are teenagers. So these kids will benefit from being taught assertiveness, good decision-making, flexibility, and anxiety-related coping skills. Most discipline tools will work on these kids because they are more bothered by the fact that they disappointed you than by anything extra that you might hand out as punishment. The analytical child, on the other hand, is the kind of child that will set things all up in a very precise fashion. So they're going to be very organized. They're going to be very upset if you go in and disrupt their organization or move things around. As a whole, these people are not friendly or aggressive and usually have just one or two really close friends. They focus on the big picture and comply with the rules simply because it's the logical thing to do. They do not show their feelings easily and can be judgmental of others. These people can easily become loners and sometimes forget to eat or sleep when they're involved in a project. Drivers make them crazy because of their disregard for detail and their rush to finish the task. Analyticals are often attracted to expressives, sometimes wishing that they're more like them, and so they will often wind up in a relationship with them. Parents are often concerned over their more reclusive nature and might try to force their child to be more outgoing. Many social skills do not come naturally to this child, except in very logical ways, so some teaching of these social skills might be required. These kids will need time to think when they're asked a question and should not be rushed into answering. They need to know why and how things are done. So they benefit from belonging to clubs like, say, Mad Science, 4-H, or Scouts, but just make sure that it's something they really enjoy doing. Tact doesn't come naturally to them, and they often need help with empathy and compassion. Learning to get dirty and have fun can also be helpful for this child, but only if she's a willing participant. For discipline, consequences work well with this group as long as there is a logical connection to the misbehavior. So, for example, if you take away a toy after your child has thrown it at their sibling, that has a logical connection. If, on the other hand, you take away their movie privilege because they threw a toy, the child is going to rebel and not learn anything useful. Because this personality enjoys time alone, grounding and timeouts are rarely effective and can be very frustrating for the parent who wants their child to seem upset because they've been put in timeout. So being aware of our dominant personality traits and how they complement or contrast with our child's can be very useful. Two drivers will argue often, and they'll love every minute of it. When a parent recognizes this and ensures that the fights don't get personal, he can sit back and enjoy the competition. On the other hand, when a driver parent has an amiable child, these battles will be draining or quite likely scary for the child and can be damaging to her self-esteem. Parents with an expressive or driver child will create extra struggle if they use controlling language. You must, because I told you to, these kinds of things. And an expressive with an analytical child may really wonder if their child has come from a different planet altogether. On a personal level, once a person is aware of their dominant tendencies, it becomes easier to learn how to moderate certain behaviors. A driver can learn to take other people's feelings into account and practice patience. An expressive can learn to be more organized and to arrive on time. Amiables can be trained to be assertive and accept that some disagreement is healthy and inevitable. Analyticals can learn to be more spontaneous and to strive for good quality instead of perfection. Our personality does not change when we do this, but rather becomes educated. Our natural behaviors will still resurface during a crisis, but at least we will be able to understand and grant forgiveness to both ourselves and our family when this happens. Free parenting tip: learning about our child's personality and how it complements or contradicts our own can help us develop realistic expectations. Understanding that our discipline tools will work better with some personality styles than others will make our job easier and help us be more effective. From learning to love. Although our personality tends to have the greatest influence on how we behave, there are numerous other qualities that affect our daily lives. Becoming familiar with some of these categories makes it easier to accept differences and overcome obstacles with our loved ones. Three such areas include our communication style, love language, and learning style. Because the categories for each of these areas share some labels, it can be hard to keep them separate in our minds. What's important is that we are able to recognize which categories seem to have the greatest influence on our children, rather than worrying too much about which label to use. As you listen to the following descriptions, look for the pieces that fit you and your family members and use that information to understand each other better. Just be careful not to put someone in a category and then refuse to allow him or her to change, as people might move from one category as they grow and develop. The way we talk. Communication styles influence how fast a person talks and provide us with insight on how we can best connect with each other. Sometimes these categories blend in a person, and other times they are totally separate. Now, I'm going to provide you with a short summary of the categories, but I want you to know I've never received any official training in this. These are things that I have picked up that I understand are actually quite closely related to the NLP communication styles. I have been told that. So feel free to take a look at what NLP offers if you want to know more about this and you don't get enough from what I'm sharing. Okay, so let's start with visual. People dominant in this style of communication will speak at a very fast pace, making many of us strain to keep up with them. They tend to be well organized and meticulously dressed and will sit or stand with their heads or bodies erect. They notice everything and will be first to recognize a change in appearance. They can often be heard saying things like, "Is that clear? Get the picture? How does that look to you?" A visual learner does best with written instructions, especially when learning something challenging. Auditory. These people are listeners and speak clearly at a moderate pace and volume. They choose their words carefully and like to hear themselves talk. They are easily distracted by noise and learn best by listening. Phrases they use are, "How does that sound? Do you hear what I'm saying?" In learning, they memorize by steps, procedures, or sequences and will often be heard speaking their instructions aloud. Kinesthetic. These slow, steady speakers can drive others crazy by refusing to speed up their speech. They like to touch and will often sit or stand closer to you than others. They say things like, "Keep in touch," or, "I need to get a handle on this. How do you feel about that?" A kinesthetic learner will benefit by being allowed to sit on something that rolls, rocks, or has some other gentle movement when he's trying to learn something. Digital. This group is about connecting, and I like to think of them as people who are strengthened by plugging in to others. They are similar to auditories and have a moderate speech structure and pace. They have a strong need to feel like they are understood and have a very active chatterbox in their head. Why is a common question for this group, since they need to understand things in order to learn them. They also say things like, "Does that make sense? Are you with me? Are we connecting here?" Knowing where our families fit into these categories can help us understand things better when problems arise. For example, a child who is a visual or auditory learner will have an easier time at school than the child who is kinesthetic and needs to move around to process instructions. If he is also a kinesthetic communicator, he might be pushed to talk faster and corrected for sitting too close to others. As a result, this child can go through school feeling frustrated, unfocused, and socially rejected unless his parents or teacher understand him and work to accommodate his needs. The way we love. Now, our love languages, I have learned from Gary Chapman, who's written an awesome book called The Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. And so you're certainly welcome to take a look at his book to learn more. And I've also done a podcast on this topic alone. So our love languages determine the way we receive love easiest and will be our first choice for how we send love to others. Becoming aware of our family's primary love languages can be both helpful and rewarding. A word of warning, although most of the category names are the same as those used in communication and learning, they do not need to match. For example, a person can be an auditory communicator, a kinesthetic learner, and have a visual primary love language. Although this might seem confusing, it is part of what makes us unique. A person whose primary love language is visual will feel most loved when she receives things that she can see. So gifts, love notes, a clean house, a thoughtful dinner on the table. Coming home to a messy house or receiving nothing for important life milestones can be very upsetting for this person. Auditories need to hear that you love them. They feel most loved when hearing words of affirmation like, "I love you, you look great, and I love spending time with you." They will do well in any relationship that shares verbal praise and encouragement. A disapproving tone of voice or set of words can be very upsetting to them. The kinesthetics, or touchers as I like to refer to them, will require physical contact like hand-holding, hugs, fingers running through the hair, or gentle massage. A joking push or a shrug off of their hand can be taken as serious rejection. The digital connectors respond well to shared laughter, meaningful conversation, and quality time together, and can be quite bothered if not asked about how they are doing or what they were up to that day. Learning which love languages your family falls into can help you determine where to put your energy when it comes to showing love. For example, imagine you receive love best visually, so with notes, flowers, things like that. But your partner is putting all his energy into telling you how much he cares. This suggests that his primary love language is auditory, yet you probably put all your effort into leaving notes on his pillow, sending love emails, and other visual cues. Both of you are putting time and energy into growing the love in your relationship. Both of you are working far harder than you'd have to if you used the right language. The way we learn. The environment we learn in is also important and unique for each of us. A lot of relationship-damaging arguments with our kids occur over homework and the environment it should be done in. Understanding and supporting our child's needs will help him become confident in his ability and promote harmony in the home. Now, according to the Dunn and Dunn Learning Styles model, there are at least 21 variables that influence how each of us learn best. Becoming aware of these variables and working with our child to figure out which ones work best for him can be quite eye-opening. Some of the factors that are important in learning environments that were quite surprising to me are things like lighting. Some of us learn better with the lighting turned low and find it hard to concentrate with bright lights shining on our paper. This seems like something our parents warned us against, yet bright light is not always the answer. Noise. A quiet library environment is what most of us picture as the ideal learning environment, but that's not always best. Some people actually require background noise, like music or maybe a television playing in the background to learn optimally. Eating and drinking. Eating food or sipping a drink are not activities that most of us think of as having anything to do with learning. But for some children, this sort of intake really helps. Knowing this is the case for a child can help us be understanding and help the child to learn. I'm going to break in here with just a personal story because I think it really illustrates this. I didn't know this, and I was working for a school division when my oldest son was in, probably around grade three. And grade three was the first year that he had a lot of homework assigned to him. So it was kind of strange because he's only grade three. He's still quite little. But what I found is that every time I would try to get him to sit at the kitchen table to do his homework, he would go and get an orange or an apple or a drink of water or something. And I would say to him, honey, come on, quit frittering. Just come and do your homework with me. I'm here. I'm willing to help you with it. But it turns out that he is actually a person who requires that food intake or that drink intake to help him think. And I, on the other hand, love to have tea when I am working. So yeah, it turns out that I actually like it too. So yeah, it was just really great for me to learn that about him, because instead of it being a problem, I would say to him, okay, it's homework time. You want to grab your snack and come to the table? Which he would happily do. The final category that I want to talk about here is that of environment. The space, temperature, and design of the room can affect how easy or hard it is for a child to learn, with some doing better with warmth or sprawled on a couch. Many of us see the sprawl as lazy and unfocused, yet for our kids, it could be the key to success. If we're not aware of the kinds of things that make it easier for our kids to learn, it will be challenging for us to support them. It is common for parents to try to push their preferred learning environment onto their child, thinking they are doing the right thing. To really help our child, we need to first understand him and then allow him to be that wonderful, unique individual that he is. From learning to love to communication, we are all different. Allowing others to express themselves in their own unique way speaks volumes. We just have to make sure we are tuning in to their station. Free parenting tip. There are qualities about each of us that influence how we learn, love, and communicate. When we make the effort to understand each other, we are much more tolerant of our differences and have a greater chance of getting our message across. In the book, I've included an exercise on creating the family you want. I will put the family of origin tick sheet up on the blog that is connected to this show. And what I want to talk to you about right now is the second part. So the first part is identifying the family type that you have, the kind of family structure that you are creating. And the second part is sort of taking a look at the people that are in your family. Who are they? What are they made up of? What makes them tick? Now, there are a huge number of categories, and lately I've been getting into much deeper things like gene keys and human design I did before that, and of course astrology and things like that. So there's way more than this that helps us to understand a person, but for our purposes and in the book, what I talked about is kind of doing a little analysis of each person in your family and thinking about what is their personality, what is their communication mode, what is their love language, what is their learning environment, and not using that to lock them into anything, but to just really get an idea of what is best going to support my child. So for example, I'm going to use myself and tell you a little bit about me. My personality is amiable, but I also, as I've gotten older, have become a very educated amiable, and it turns out that I have a fairly strong analytical and driver side to me as well. My communication mode is auditory and digital. So I'm very easily distracted by noises, things happening in my environment that make a sound. And my love languages are digital, auditory. So they're the same, but flipped around. And then my learning environment is daylight or soft lighting. I do not like bright lighting. I like to sip on tea when I'm working. I like to be at a desk. I must be warm. And I do like quiet or music playing that doesn't have any words to the song. If there's people singing, forget it. It distracts me. So from that, as a parent, if I was my own parent, I would know that I might need to be taught how to be assertive, how to let go of perfectionism. I would know that this child dislikes arguing, but in this case, likes changes in routine, which is actually different from most amiable. So remember, there's some about getting to know that person as well. Discipline will need to show her what she did wrong and why it's a problem, okay? But letting her know that she disappointed others is going to be enough of a discipline. You don't really need to take things away or add on to the problem. This child communicates best when given verbal instructions, but needs to understand why something must be done. She feels most loved when people try to connect with her and give verbal praise or feedback. So by creating this little analysis of the kind of person your child is, it can help you to really get to know them. And then figuring out what kind of family you're building, what your family structure is, what kind of tendencies you have, can help you to really start creating a family that is powerful and most effective for everyone involved. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and let us know what you loved. Visit vibrantpowerfulmoms.com to find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms.